education, leadership, and beyond, surviving and thriving. My name is Andrew Murata, host of the show, and excited to be with you. It's been a couple weeks here, spring break, some traveling up to New England, where our guest is from today. So it's been a couple weeks, but I'm back with you. Happy to be live here. Proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voice Ed Radio Canada. Wherever you're taking in the podcast, happy to be with you. If you're watching live, jump in, say hello. I love having people watching be part of the show and jump in and leave some comments. We are going to meet Principal Jeff Thomas from Vermont. Met Jeff last summer, and man, he's got some stories, athletic background, mechanical engineering background, international educator background, PE teacher of the year. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot there, and excited to meet Jeff and excited to call him a friend. So thank you for tuning in. I do want to thank today's sponsor of the show. It is IXL. If you've been watching the show, you know they've been a sponsor here for a while. We appreciate them. I use IXL as an educator in my school district, Port Jervis, home of the Raiders, and a very valuable tool. Here's a couple words from IXL.
Hey, friends, Andrew Murata here, surviving and thriving. And I want to thank today's sponsor for the podcast, IXL. Discover the power of data-driven instruction in your school with IXL. It is the most widely used online learning and teaching platform, K through 12. It gives you everything you need to maximize learning, from a comprehensive curriculum to meaningful school-wide data. And IXL's diagnostic is research proven to be a strong predictor of performance on standardized assessments, including NWEA, MAPS, STAR, iLearn, just to name a few. And the best part, everything I just mentioned is all integrated into one platform, so you can simplify your ed tech tools. Visit IXL.com to lead your school towards data-driven excellence today. The link is in the show notes. And again, I want to thank IXL for sponsoring Education, Leadership, and Beyond.
So you can click on that link in the show notes. There's a lot more information about IXL. If you're not familiar with it, check it out. If you are an educator and you're using it in your school, you do know how valuable it is. So appreciate them sponsoring. The second sponsor are my books. Well, I'm going to ask Jeff about it, but the NCAA tournament just ended. Tales from the Hardwood, a lot of referee stories. My good friend Roger Ayers, he did the Final Four. He did the championship game, and he's in the book here. And again, as a leader, I know you're getting your books ready for spring break, for summertime. A couple other ones in my books here. Check them out. They're all on my website. They're all on Audible, too. And, you know, a lot of people listening to books today. So check them out. I read most of them there, not the first one. Leah's watching, Jeff, your daughter. He's the man. Leah, your dad. I can't wait to talk to him, and excited. So let's get started with today's show. The opening concept is 8 before 8. And guess where I learned that from, friends? Jeff Thomas, Vermont. We're in the conference. We're talking about strategies for principals, strategies for leaders, making connections, building relationships. And Jeff raises his hand. He says, hey, man, I do 8 before 8. And the whole room turned around and looked like, what's that, man? What's 8 before 8? And he said he is intentional about eight people, meeting 8 people before 8 o'clock, connecting with them, talking with them, what's happening in their life. How did the game go yesterday? Those can be 5-10 second interactions or a couple minute conversations, but 8 before 8. So if you're an educator, you're watching the show, what a great tool, what a great concept, again, from Jeff Thomas from Vermont. And it works. When you start your day with that intentionality, man, you're going to meet people, you're going to hear about them, and you're going to learn. Speaking of meeting the people, let's meet today's guest from Vermont, Jeff Thomas. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, good to be here.
Yeah, good. Welcome to the podcast. We talked last summer about getting you on the podcast.
Yeah, you did. And I said, I don't know. What's a podcast? Yeah, but here I am.
Yeah, here you are. I appreciate it. Your daughter's watching. If you are watching the show from Vermont, family, friends, please jump in the chat. Tell me something about Jeff that I could ask him about. But Jeff, you got a lot of stories. You got a lot of experience. Let's start with your second year at White River Valley High School in Vermont. How is your second year as principal going?
It's going great. So one of the things I'm really proud of in our second year here is so our dropout rate before I got here was 22%. And that which is huge, right? And I know a lot of people say COVID and this and that, but it was kind of after COVID. But 22% was really high. And one of the things we focused on in our first year was to get that reduced. And I'm proud to say it's 5% after year one. Yeah.
Wow, Jeff.
It was really exciting.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Another thing that we really tried is our school is you get to choose in a lot of towns, you get to choose what high school you go to. So we really focus on recruiting. So in 21-22, we had 173 students, 9 through 12. And then last year it was 190. And this year it's at 217. And that growth is just unbelievable. And it's due to a lot of our teachers and our efforts to recruit kids. Tomorrow night, you know, when the podcast was going to be tomorrow, we have our We Are Wildcat night, where all the teachers have in the gymnasium everything that's displayed in their classrooms and stuff. And kids come in, the athletic boosters are there. We give out popcorn and food and swag, and we have tours around the school. We really sell our school real well. And it's awesome to be a Wildcat. It's really, really cool. So those are really great things that happen, and you know, for year two, that I'm really excited about.
Congratulations. Those are incredible numbers. Give me, you mentioned the teachers recruiting, but what are some things that you think as the leader has impacted the attendance rate or the non-dropout rate, as well as, upper enrollment there?
I'm a big Ted Lasso fan, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Even before Ted came on, I had Believe on the Doors and this and that. And so somebody saw that when I was doing that for basketball, and they're like, hey, have you seen this Ted Lasso movie or show? And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I just was like, this guy's awesome. So if you go around our school, on every door, on the top of the door, we have the words Believe written. And somebody said, well, what's that all about? I'm like, well, I want our kids to believe that we believe in them, and that they believe in us, and that the whole school is something that we believe in. And I think just, you know, culture and community is so important to me. And I think we've really changed that a little bit here. So people want to be at this school. And so it takes a little bit of effort, but I think that's really where that, you know, recruiting thing comes from.
That's fantastic. Great. Good for you, Jeff. You heard me talk about 8 for 8, right? Relationships, or 8 before 8. And you just raised your hand in that conference there. You shared that. Tell me about that concept and how you think that's helping relationships in your school.
Well, first, I want to say, you know how, like, I don't know, good coaches, teachers, they find something from somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And so you asked me where I got that from. And, you know, getting older in my life there, I couldn't remember. Then I remembered when I first started out as an athletic director here at South Royalton years ago. And I went to a conference. I met this guy, Dan Marlowe, from Bell's Free Academy, from St. Albans, BFA. And Dan talked about that. And so I want to give him full credit. Because I took it and I ran with it like it was mine.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember where I got that from. So thank you, Dan. but I use that like every day. And you know what's funny is some of our teachers are starting to do that now. So when I'm out in the hall doing my 8 before 8, there's teachers already doing that. And they talk about that. Like, hey, I'm already up to 10. So we might have to change that 20 before 8 or something, because they're going haywire. It's great. You know, one of the things that we talked earlier about was community. One of the things that our teachers do that I really love is that they meet every student at the door. Like when you walk in the hallways at all the teachers are out the door talking to kids, pointing to them, saying, hey, and there's never any negative interactions in the hallways because everybody's out in the hallways at that time. And I think that really changes the culture of our school and helps.
100%. If you're watching the show live, jump in and say hello. Leah, tell me something about your dad that we don't know here. I'd love to ask him about that. Jeff, again, second year principal, but a lifetime of experience. Tell me about your leadership style, taking from all those other areas on your journey. But what's your style as a school leader?
Well, you know, I really only have one. I'm pretty enthusiastic all the time, you know, and I'm a positive individual. Like I never see anything bad. Like Like a kid will get in trouble. And I think that's awesome because you're really going to learn from this experience. Like if you hadn't have done that, you wouldn't have learned as much. And I think that is something that I got from my dad years ago when he was coaching Little League. You know, we had a pretty bad team one year and the next year we were phenomenal. And it's because he never gave up. He believed in the team. And, you know, it's just that concept of being positive, even like, you know, when things are bad and you're a principal, you know how that is. Things are bad, but you'll never know because I'm not going to change. You know, and I love my point guards that act just like that when they're in a game. You know, Dougie Avellino was one of my point guards at Woodstock. We had an undefeated season and he was, we could have been up 20 or down 20 and that kid never looked any different. And I kind of got that from him. Yeah.
I love that.
Staying positive.
I love it. Fantastic. Well, we're going to ask about a couple steps along the way, including that coaching journey, but you also taught in North Africa, Tunisia for 2 years. You picked your family up. Your babies were 5 and 3 and you went to Africa and you taught for 2 years. What was that experience like for you?
I think it was incredible. You know, I mean, just to live in a different culture. I mean, we lived right in Carthage, right near where the president, just down the road from the president. You know, I mean, there's so many stories. I got to tell you this one, though. I was jogging to school one morning and the helicopters and the sirens and stuff. So I knew the president was heading into the city. And there was a guard, like every third step, there was a guard with a machine gun. And I just needed to make the corner to get down to this back road and get to school. And nope, sure enough, the president came through and the guards jumped on me and they held me down. And then the president went through and then I just got up, nothing was said, and off I went. And you know, you tell people that story. Like, I told my in-laws about the guns, like everyone on every street corner. We got pulled over every time we were out because we had diplomatic plates, you know, and they just wanted to get a little extra money. And it was unbelievable. But that you tell people that and they just don't believe it. And then they come over and they're like, yeah, that did happen. Another cool story was we took the entire middle school on a desert trek for 1 week. And we had 3 Bedouins with us that walked along with the camels and stuff. And we slept out overnight in the desert. And one of the cool things, there was this big storm and the wind was howling, just like here in Vermont in the wintertime when that wind's blowing and there's a bunch of snow. Anyways, I was on the lead camel. I'm going along and my camel just stops. I got my sunglasses on. I feel like I'm getting like just pecked with all this sand. I can't see the end of the camel, but it stopped. So like back home, if it was a horse, you'd kick it, you know, yeah, what it wouldn't move. And all of a sudden the sand just stopped for just 1 second. And I looked and we were on this like 200-foot ledge that went down and the camel just turned and went that way. And all I could imagine was my camel going over the edge and everyone just following us. So pretty smart.
That is an incredible story of leadership. Oh my God. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah, it was fun.
So. And you took middle schoolers out in the desert.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you homesick? Were you knew you would come home? Was it something that you talked about? Wow, we want to go somewhere else, or you just knew you wanted to come back?
Yeah, you know, we thought it'd be great to have our kids back in a school for their, you know, 12 years and no kids and stuff, and not just be moving around too much. But we thought about it because it was a great experience. Yeah.
And your wife stuck it out with you 32 years married to your Jill, 32 years.
Yeah. Yep.
What's your secret? How do you survive and thrive? I got to give a shout out to my wife. 25 years. I asked her to marry me this day. She reminded me of that. But how do you survive 32 years with a smile on your face?
Yeah. You know, a lot of fishing and hunting. No, I swear, you know, like she's on the horse circuit. She rides and she's like at a really high level. She, you know, does the world tournaments and stuff. And she was in the top 5 for equitation one time with her horse. So that was pretty impressive. So, you know, she does her thing. I do mine. And then when we're together, it's like, oh man, it's like, and we're best friends. So we support each other on each journey and stuff. And I think, you know, it's not like we started to do quite a bit together. Like we're playing pickleball now. We're in a pickleball league and we mountain bike together. So those are great times, right? So when we're apart, it's good. When we're together, it's awesome. Yeah.
Good for you. Again, your daughter's watching. She told me to ask him about his long trail hike in the Fish Ed program.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So a couple of years back, my wife and I decided we'd hike the Long Trail. It's 272 miles from Canada to Massachusetts. Yeah. So we hiked a couple times. We thought we were in pretty good shape. So the first night we went 4 miles, and both of us in our tents that night were cramping up. I had a bag that weighed over 50 pounds.
Ah, you got to go 272?
Yeah, I was throwing stuff out. I mean, it was just nuts. Yeah. My daughter, speaking of Leah, she hiked the Appalachian Trail. She graduated from West Texas A&M, and we dropped her off. My wife dropped her off at Georgia, to start hiking on Springer Mountain, and she hiked the whole Appalachian Trail. So I did 272 miles. She did over 2,100. So,
God.
We got to do Katahdin with her and my son. So that was pretty cool experience.
And you both finished these journeys.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're incredible.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Steph, you're not a lifelong educator. Obviously, you're a lifelong connector with people, but you started out, you were a mechanical engineer, and coaching and your journey working with people brought you to become an educator. Tell me about that switch from mechanical engineering to education.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I talk about this at every start of the school year. I talk about, you know, school sometimes is a box, and like I just didn't fit in that box so much. So I was like a co-op. I did the mechanical engineering stuff. So I was at a shop working, you know, and it wasn't just your typical classes, but I did go and take physics and, you know, calculus and so forth, so I could prepare to go to college to be an engineer. And then I was an engineer for 6 years. And while I was engineering, I had an opportunity to coach. So I was coaching football, middle school football, and then freshman football. And then I was coaching softball. And then I decided, you know, that, geez, I really like kids. This is something I'm really passionate about. Jill, I was dating Jill at the time, and she was a teacher. And during the summer, she'd come down and we'd have lunch together at work. And I'd be like, don't you work in the summer? And she said, I'm teaching. I don't work in the summer. I was like, well, that's a pretty good gig. Maybe I should look into that. And so I went back to school, got my teaching degree, and started teaching.
Wow. And then you and your wife got into flipping houses and doing things like that in the summertime.
Yeah. So, you know, as most teachers, we paint in the summer. So my wife had a painting business, and I'd just start up in the summer with my work crew. We do exterior painting and stuff. And then we decided, you know what, our kids were starting to go to college, and we didn't have very much money to pay for that. And we thought that would be something we'd like to do. Yeah. So we decided we'd take a second mortgage on our house to get money to buy a house to flip. And we did our first house in Woodstock. And I got to tell you, man, Jill wanted a fence up between the two houses there. And we called Safe Dig. And Safe Dig's this company that tells you where all the electric wires are.
Yeah.
Guess where they were? Right where she wanted that fence. I'm out there with a wooden dowel because I didn't dare use a shovel because I didn't want to get electrocuted. It was the wobbliest fence ever because I didn't go very deep.
You split the lines.
Yeah. But I think in our 10, 15 years, we've done 20 houses.
Wow.
So we sold them, a lot of them right off, you know, and sometimes we kept them, rented them, and then sold them. And our kids worked along with us. So Leah's quite a painter herself. And so, we did some kids. It was a family event. Every weekend we get together. It was fun, really fun.
Wow. What a journey you got.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier, you know, in education, sometimes you don't see the results of your hard work. You know, this is a lot harder here than it is flipping any house. But at the end of the day, when you shut the door and you look back and go, wow, look at all the work we did in this one day. It's a little different in education. So it's a nice thing sometimes to see.
Wow. Incredible, Jeff. I mean, really just incredible. And then what made you look at the principalship? What made you want to leave the classroom to become a principal?
Yeah, you know, so I got our superintendent, who I coached in basketball. He was
he was your player, or she was your player.
He was my player. Yeah, he was probably the best screener in the game of basketball. It was really funny because I didn't think he was much of a basketball player, but my guard on the court would come over and say, "Coach, we need Kennardy in," and I was like, Did you say Canarney? I wasn't sure because, like, he can't score. He's only 5'8", you know, but that kid, he could rebound, and he was just all grit. And so he ended up asking me if I would be interested. I did a little stint of assistant principal at another school, and I had my endorsement, and I thought, well, I'll probably never go back. You know, I mean, assistant principal, you're dealing with a lot of, you know, tough stuff all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. So, he mentioned it to me. I interviewed, and here I am. And, you know, this is my home, though. This is like, I know everybody in the community. I taught both the secretaries, half the parents in here I taught. So I kind of know everyone, which is really nice. And it's a great
community. And I know I could see the memorabilia behind you. I'd love for you to pick one thing out there, one thing off the wall, one of those balls or trophies behind you. Grab something and tell me a story from one of those things behind you. I mean, he's got the best background there. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, so, wow. Yeah, maybe this was our undefeated season.
Wow.
23-0. Yeah, pretty exciting year. You know, undefeated is tough.
Yeah. So you can identify with the South Carolina women's team here this year.
Yeah, that's right. But we didn't have to play Caitlin Clark, so that was good. So that was pretty exciting, you know, to take a team, and they hadn't won the championship in a long time. But, you know, I could also go to the South Royalton team and say, you know, there was a team that they had never won a state title here in South Royalton before we won in 95. So that was pretty exciting. So, but there's another award there that this Teacher of the Year for Phys Ed, I think it's pretty cool. Yeah. So at the awards night, pretty funny story. I made a plaque, a fake plaque, and I put it up on the podium where I was going to do my speech. And I got some goggles and I got my little saw. And I went up and I cut off the fit. I pretend it was this. I cut pieces off because I wanted to thank all the people for the award. Because, you know, you don't do it alone, right? Like Dan Marlowe, I mentioned Dan, 8 before 8. There's hundreds of people. You know, like, I just think of all the people I've met along the way. And you're one of them now. But that's just, like, I just feed off that, right? And I get everything that's really good. I have a friend that was a principal here years ago when I was here, Sean Pickett. And I admire him. We hunt together. We still hunt together. We hunted when I was teaching, and now we still hunt. But he is just an incredible person. And, like, he's one call away. I could text him right now and just, you know.
Probably watching the show. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's people like that, though, that really, like, you know, like anything you do, like those state championships, it wasn't because of me. We had great middle school coaches. We had great parents. We had, you know, I was just lucky to be part of it, really.
Yeah. So, give me a lesson. Give me a lesson. We were talking tales from the hardwood off the air. Give me a lesson that you took from your time coaching that you use now in your role as a school leader.
It's funny you say that. So one of the things I use all the time is that, like, I'm really punctual. Like tonight I was probably 10 minutes early, right? The theory is if you're 10 minutes early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're late, you shouldn't show up. And so I want our kids to realize that, not necessarily for school, but for real life. So I'm a good hall guy. I love being in the halls anyways. And man, I want that hallway clear when that bell rings, you know, I want them locked in. And we talk a lot about this, like how important that is to me and it is to you in the long run. And like, we got to be locked in. I talk about being locked in a lot. Like, you got to be locked in, you know, first 20 minutes, you don't go to the bathroom, you don't get your computer, because it was really bad, right? Kids are coming out, getting a computer, getting a book and this and that. I'm like, would you go into your practice, basketball practice, with sandals? No, you'd be ready and prepared. So we got to be prepared and locked in. 20 minutes, that's our rule, right? After that, you can go to the bathroom. But I think that's so important. And I think that's true with anything, right? That first part of that lesson is going to be really important, just like it is in basketball, like it is in life. So
great, Jeff. So many good nuggets you're giving here. I love it. You can feel your energy. A lot of people watching live. Jump in. Leave a comment for Jeff. Leave a question. But really appreciate the time here, Jeff. And it's turning now. The spring, we're turning the school year. You could see the finish line of the school year. It's warming up. Vermont, New England just had a huge storm. But what are you like looking forward to now, this part of the year? It's warmer. What are some things maybe in school as well as out of school that you're looking forward to?
Well, in school, you know, it gets so busy. Right now, we just had a calendar meeting because I don't want to miss anything, right? There's all these AP tests. There's all these final exams. Then there's a senior class trip. Then there's a spring carnival. We do outings. We do 3 outings a year. So that's got to be scheduled in there. The outings are really great because there's a few ways to make relationships, right? One is by playing games and one is eating together. So we have a lot of cookouts and we play a lot of games. But these outings, you get to sign up for an outing. And so kids sign up. This winter, we went ice fishing, we went skiing, we went sliding, and we did all that exciting stuff. So this spring, that's what I'm looking forward to, is making sure that everything's, you know, prepared. And then again, that's that coaching football, basketball. You want to be prepared. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to, is just getting everything. So everyone feels comfortable and we're all prepared. And then there's no doubt what I'm looking for outside of school is mountain biking. That's kind of my thing now. So can't wait to get that going. Yeah.
You're quite active. Scuba diving, pickleball, mountain biking, hunting, fishing. I mean, you're very active. How does that help you as a leader?
Well, you got it. Last year, I as my first year, I didn't do a lot of things. You know, my workout regimen kind of I quit on it because I felt like I was too busy and I didn't want to miss anything. And so I realized that that's not a good way to continue. So I started again 6:30. One of our teachers, friends of mine, we meet in the weight room. So I get that taken care of. And then just finding that time, because when you're hunting, there's no one talking. You know, your life is busy. You communicate all day long with people and it's awesome, right? But it's pretty nice to sit in a tree stand, shut your eyes, especially if you hunt in Vermont, there's no deer. So you can just shut your eyes and sit back and not worry, right? And you're not thinking about school the whole time because you're kind of doing some other activity, whether it's fishing or hunting. So that really helps me, I think. It unwinds me because I get wound up occasionally, just saying. So yeah. I think that really helps.
And what are you hunting there? If you're not hunting deer there, what are you hunting?
Oh, turkeys. Turkeys is a big thing. Yeah, turkeys. It's coming up May 1st. So
okay.
All the kids, that's all they're talking about. Like, in, you know, they're practicing their turkey calls and they're, you know, going down the hallways. It's happening. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Jeff, we were fortunate to meet this summer. You came to my sessions. We had a blast. You were such a great participant. What was a takeaway? What was something that you were like, oh, I love that, and bam, you started doing the school year?
Your stories, you know, like, and it makes so much sense. Like, if you're going to have a concept, I use the candle one, like, first part of the year this year. Just love that, you know, that I had this magic vase thing, like, is a glass half full or half empty? Mm. And I use that, you know, so I'm really starting to use these stories. You know, the cannibal one with my secretary. There's just so many, right?
And where's Rosie?
Yeah, that's right. And it's just so awesome. So having it, and you know, it's funny, one of our ladies that works up at the central office used that beginning of the year. And it's just like, you know, so, you know, those stories where you can have a story, because you might not remember if I just tell you about it, but if I add a story to it, you'll remember the story. I just think that was so powerful and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I remember your face. I could see your writing and this, and then we connected. You were so gracious. We did the Leadership Sparks, so many connections there. So Jeff, you heard the sponsor of the show is IXL, and you went and looked it up, right? You weren't familiar with it, went and looked it up and you found out a little bit in your district. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what you learned here and your mindset with that IXL?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. You mentioned that the other day, and I was like, man, I got to look this up. So immediately, I looked it up. I think I was still connecting with you on the text or email, and I'm looking it up, and I was like, wow, our flexible pathways can use this. Our students can use this. So I got a hold of somebody at the central office, and she said that our elementary is using this right now. You know, kids are using that to, like, her kids are using that and supporting them with their math skills right now or English skills. So it's something that we're going to start using that we can. She says we're able to use that at the high school level, but no one has yet. So our flexible pathways coordinator is looking into it right now. And we have mechanical math. So I think we could use some of those math concepts in IXL in that class as well. Pretty exciting. Yeah, it just opens up a whole new world for us.
Home run. Yeah, I could see kids learning, teachers using it, and hitting the kids where they're at with it. Shouldn't say hitting the kids. Marking where the kids are, you know, certainly all of that.
And, you know, I mentioned I taught Algebra 1 in Tunisia there. And, you know, we had that little, you know, minute math that we do. We'd have some questions on the board. I could see, you know, kids opening up and just starting with a few of those warm-ups through IXL as well.
I love it. Awesome. Well, good luck there. And, again, there'll be information in the show notes. Jeff, you know, my mindset is surviving and thriving. There's ups and downs. We're all on a journey together, and you certainly have an incredible journey, your stories, your experiences. But give me that one word, Jeff, give me that one concept, that one strategy, surviving blank thriving. What would you put in there as that thing that helps you thrive in your life? What would that concept be?
You know, believing. So I said it earlier, but you know, it's like, I don't know. I talk about a couple of teachers that like made a difference in my life. And the reason that they did was they really believed in me. You know, like sometimes kids don't believe in themselves. And so to have an adult believe in you, I mean, it's really interesting. Don Tiernan was one of them. He was my physics teacher. And I wanted to be a phys ed teacher my senior year, and I ended up going off to college for engineering. But he kind of promoted me to do that. And look at, you know, years later, I was a phys ed teacher, thanks to him, you know, and it was just like people like that. And Bob Schweitzer, Bob was a wrestling coach in middle school. And if you wrestled, he'd said, put a plus 10 on your paper. You know, he probably never gave it to us, but there was a guy that sacrificed his entire life for kids. And, you know, I looked at that and just like, wow, those are great role models, right? That we have in our lives. Yeah.
Your parents too. You mentioned your parents here on the pre-show, and you know, how they were such a big influence on you, educator, and your dad was your coach. Talk about your parents for a moment there.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I got my hard work from both of them. They both worked extremely hard. My mom in the summertime would teach us. She'd have a little school, and then it was kind of cute because then when my daughter and son and my nieces and nephews were little, she would teach them. So it was, you know, she was always a teacher. And I think I got that teaching thing from her. And then my dad was just like, you know, one of the nicest coaches. Like, you know, we grew up in poverty, and he would still find a way to buy trophies at the end of the season for everybody, you know, and awards. And then if you got a home run, he would take everyone to A&W that night to, you know, for root beer. And, you know, I guess you're oblivious to it when you're a kid, but I do remember conversations like when I was going up to bed of the two, my parents, mom saying, where'd you find the money to buy all the kids A&W root beer? Yeah. So it was, you know, something that we're, you know, coaching and teaching is a sacrifice. Wow. And I appreciate everything that our teachers do here to sacrifice for everybody because, you know, we're family here and they give so much for our kids. It's awesome.
It's going in the right direction. Your enrollment from 173 to 217, dropout rate from 22% to 5%. Congratulations, White River Valley High School. Congratulations to you, Jeff. It's inspiring to hear that. You know, it really is. People like to talk negative. People like to take shots at education, and here you got some great things going on there. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, cool. Jeff, something you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask you?
Yeah, I think you hit it. You hit it all. Well done. Yeah.
I mean, I could talk to you all night. You have tremendous energy. I wish you the best of luck. I mean, I know you have a lot there in front of you. And I'm going to encourage you on air here, Jeff, to start writing down some of your stories and experiences because I see a book in there somewhere. And I think, you know, it's important that you would maybe get those down somewhere.
Yeah. You know, my wife just finished three books. She wrote three books. Wow. On the horse circuits, the American Quarter Horse.
Wow.
Right. So there's a plug for her. Anybody that wants to buy the American Quarter Horse series, it's on Amazon. Yeah. Jill Thomas. There it is. Yeah. So, and then my daughter's quite a writer too. She wrote a book in college. So,
you know.
Yeah. So I got some talent all around me. I just need them to maybe help me out.
Leah wants me to ask you about the bent nickel theory.
Oh, geez. There you go. Yeah. So funny story. So, and I don't know where I got this, but you bend a nickel, right? And you stack a bunch of, I got them right in my desk right here. I could grab them, but
So go get it. You want to have the prop for the story. You're on fire here, man. We'll wait for you.
Yeah. All right. So I used to use this for all my teams. I don't know where I got this one from. This wasn't from Dan Marlowe, but might have been. So you take a stack of nickels, you pile them up. I don't know if you can see that. Stack of nickels.
Online learning here.
Right here. Yep. You got a bent nickel, okay? Now, this bent nickel represents, you know, one of those kids that, like, I'm going to just talk about basketball, for example. One of those kids that maybe isn't playing that much. It kind of, you know, is disruptive in practices, not getting enough playing time. Just kind of like, you know, we have this lead 'em up program here at our school, which is really talks about being green. And that's your green player right there, you know? A gray player, you can sway either way. Either red or green, and a red player is just this bent nickel, kind of negative, doesn't like what's going on around them. So they're going to make everyone else miserable. So what happens on any team is, you know, the team can support that bent nickel pretty easily. But what happens as the season progresses is he starts to infiltrate a couple other people. So now the team's a little unbalanced, but it still lines up, you know, you can still handle this, you know, you got the majority of the players are still happy, you know, things are going along. What happens to 90% of the teams at the end of the season? That bent nickel's allowed to really infiltrate the team and it crashes and the whole team collapses. And I've seen that so many times that one bent nickel, because we didn't say anything or do anything as a coaching staff, because maybe he was a good player. You know, so we really want to address character. And so we talk about that. So funniest story. One night Leah got in trouble. I hope you don't mind me telling this story. One night Leah got in trouble and we were on the way home from soccer practice or something. And she's crying and she goes, Dad, am I the bent nickel? I said, you know, when you don't think a story really counts, and then your daughter talks about that. I thought that was pretty good.
I love it. This has been fantastic. Jeff, you're an incredible leader. Thanks for sharing that story. Leah, thanks for bringing that up. And again, if you watch us on record, please leave Jeff a comment. This has been a great show. Jeff, we got to get to rapid fire here. You're still at school here. You know, so let's get to rapid fire and we'll get you home here. These are quick questions, Jeff. The first answer that comes to your mind, are you ready?
Yep, fire.
Here we go. Last book you read.
Extreme Ownership. Navy SEALs. You gotta read it.
That's fantastic. Last movie you saw.
Oh, geez. Top Gun. It's been a while.
Last concert you went to.
You know, best concert. I don't remember the last one, but George Strait, second row seats. It was the Dixie Chicks. I'm going to tell you a story about this. So I'm coming to school one day and on the radio, they say, if you go to the Chicks concert, you know, people are bringing their boxer shorts and throwing them up on stage and this and that. So I'm like, I'll bring a pair, you know, we're going to be there all day. I mean, Tim McGraw was there. There was so many people that were at this concert. So the stage is getting set up for the Dixie Chicks and there's this big old bouncer in front there. So I walk up to him, you know, it's like, hey, on the radio, I heard that people were throwing their boxers up to Emily or whoever on the Chicks. Is that okay? And he's like, I've been here for 10 years with the Chicks and no one's thrown a pair of underwear up on stage. And then he taps me, he goes, but don't let me down. I was like, So I ball it up. I'm like, I'm waving it to Emily on stage. And she beckons it up. I'm like, you kidding me? So I roll that thing up. I toss it up to her. She puts them on. She's wearing my boxers on the concert. Everyone's high-fiving me. I'm like the biggest hero. I was like this. It was awesome. I got a picture of it. I'll send it to you. I could not believe that. That was the best concert. Yeah, best concert. George Strait.
Oh, my God. That's a great story.
Unreal.
That was really good. Favorite dish?
You know, I'm going to go. This is kind of weird because I'm not talking food. I'm talking passing in basketball. Caitlin Clark. She sees the court so well. She dishes that ball like no other. Yeah.
Have the dish. Wow, great. That's the first twist I've had on that question. This favorite place to travel?
Cayman Islands. Just went there with our family. Leah and Griffin went. We had a great time. We went scuba diving together. Leah took the scuba course. and we went scuba as a family. It was awesome.
Oh my God. Beautiful. This summer I will fill in the blank.
This summer I will go fishing because last summer was really wet. So we didn't get a chance to fish much.
Okay. You're an extremely positive person. What's a pet peeve of yours?
I got none.
Not getting up your sleeve.
Nothing.
Wow. That's incredible. That's yep. That's a first.
That's why I've been married. That's why I've been married so long.
At 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel fill in the blank.
I feel pumped because my wife and I are going riding. We've been traveling to Massachusetts every weekend because it's dry down there to go riding, biking.
Wow. Beautiful. Best takeaway from this show for our guests.
Oh, if you're an educator, just believe in your kids. Believe, because, you know, that is probably the most powerful tool. I have kids all the time, either coming into school, calling me, texting me, see them in the stores. And I think it's that relationship that you built because they know you believe in them.
Great answer. Best part of Vermont?
Best part of Vermont? Whoo, definitely the mountains, you know, like whether you're mountain biking or just, you know, enjoying a hike.
Yeah. We saw those beautiful mountains in Killington. My God, it was beautiful. Something you're curious about?
I'm curious about how I ever got my scuba license. I learned how to swim. Like, I'm not a swimmer. I don't float well. And it was the hardest test I ever took. So I'm curious how I ever passed.
You did well. You were doing it in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
Something about Jeff Thomas that people do not know about.
Yeah, that they don't know about. Let me see. That's a tough one. Phew.
You're an open book.
Yeah, I am.
We'll give you a pass. You're hitting a home run, bro. You're batting 1,000.
Yeah, I got a pass on that.
Pass, bro. All right, these are, you got to pick one. This is either or out of three. Cheeseburger, taco, or empanada?
Cheeseburger.
Bam. I think I know the answer here. Long walk or gym workout?
Gym workout.
Oh, see, yeah.
If it was a jog, maybe, but a walk, it's just maybe a mountain bike. But yeah, especially lately, been in the gym.
I'm going to add that as a mountain choice in your honor there. Beach, pool, or lake?
I would say the ocean so I can scuba dive.
Book or audio book?
Book.
Who is your team? Who's your sports team?
Celtics.
They're playing well.
Yeah. But it was Iowa. It was Iowa for this March Madness, just saying.
Iowa women's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Caitlin Clark, she changed the sport. Series or movie?
I'm a series guy.
Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Cash or credit?
Credit.
Morning or night?
Morning.
Cookie or donut?
Apple. I'm not a sweet guy. I don't know. I'll go with the donut.
You're sweet enough. Surviving or thriving?
Thriving.
There you go. I agree with that. This is Jeff Thomas, everyone, principal in Vermont. What an incredible educator. They're lucky to have you there, Jeff. This has been a tremendous show. My face is hurting from laughing. I got so many stories written down here. Incredible. So, Jeff, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way they can do that?
Email
you? Go ahead. Will you share it?
Yeah, jthomas@wrbsu.org.
Just check them out there. Again, White River Valley High School. Jeff, I'm a quote guy. I'd love to end the show with a quote. You have one for us?
Hey, I use it all the time. Nothing great was ever.
Hold on. I cut you off. Start that again. Sorry about that.
Ralph Waldo Emerson, right?
Say it again. I cut you off.
Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. Totally believe that.
Agree with that. Yeah. This is Jeff Thomas, friends. Jeff, we're going to come to a close here in the show. Thank you. This was great. I appreciate your energy and enthusiasm.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do this again.
Do it again. You stay on the line a minute. We are going to sign off. I do want to thank IXL for sponsoring the show. If I could help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at AndrewMorata21 on Twitter. And please leave Jeff a comment in the chat. This was a tremendous show. He's got a tremendous amount of experience. And Again, kudos to you, Jeff, for making a difference in the lives of our kids and our staff. I mean, educators need to hear this. Yeah.
Well, you know, you thank me for being a great leader. I want to just thank my staff for being great, because they really make, you know, they make me who I am, just like every team I coached.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to sign off. Jeff, stay on the line. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody, and keep surviving and thriving, friends.